Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 300, part 2, the conclusion to Temper. Today is Sunday, July 14th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Talking about revealing today. See, they would never see God's, the Pharisees of that day, until they saw themselves. When you get convicted and you see where you're really at in your life, I mean, I would say right off of a bar stool, okay? Yes, and you act like it. Oh, never mind. Well, someone was there. I have to answer it. Huh? When you were convicted and you were first saved and God revealed, see, before that you didn't know. Well, you thought being nasty and perverted and running around and drinking and carousing and all that, well, that was fine. That's the way it is. Until it was revealed to you. Until Jesus Christ spoke to your heart, until the Holy Spirit convicted you and the veil was lifted, you didn't want to change. You didn't even have the desire to change. You didn't even know you were supposed to change. Until that light came in and revealed that darkness, and he says, oh my God, I've been revealed. No one wants change until they see it, do they? You don't want to change until you see it. Today you're seeing a few things about your life. And I don't put it into humorous terms or whatever, because you don't want to kill people and they're laying down the floor flossing at the mouth. But let's face it, folks, a lot of ministry here today has been plain, simple truth. And the truth, again, I have to say it, the truth will set you free. We don't want to change until we see it. It's just like in your natural. You don't want to change, or you don't even want to take a bath until you start smelling yourself. Huh? Well, isn't that true? In the natural now, you don't want to change until someone points it out, or you look in the mirror, and you think, oh, I feel all right, and you look in the mirror, oh, What happened? I look a mess. Look at my hair. Oh, God, I can't go out like this. And it's the same way you're revealed in God's mirror. You don't want to change until that light reveals. We're changing every day. Did you stop changing? I'm changing. Well, even in the natural, I look at my baby pictures now. Hey, I'm a long ways from there. I've changed. For the better, I was a very ugly child. Come on, laugh a little bit. No one changes until they see their need for a change. Many, in other words, lukewarm, dead churches right now are being challenged by God to wake up, to repent, to become zealous for good works, because God, for the most part, has become dead to them. Jesus has become history. Better than that, Jesus has become poetry. Or Jesus, they put on a flannel board. Oh, here's Jesus, and they move the flannel Jesus over here, and they put, oh, here he is going down. There he goes. He's going to the garden, huh? And that's their Jesus. A flannel board Jesus. I'm not talking about a flannel board Jesus. I'm talking about a Jesus on the inside. I'm talking about a vibrant, zealous, working Jesus on the inside, and we're talking about the love tree that bears that fruit, glory to God, that's inside you, and that fruit that grows from you is that joy and that peace and that power that you'll have when the Spirit of Jesus starts moving in your life. And if you think I'm crazy, because it's Jesus working in me. Zealous, I said, for good works. And so those words were like a surgeon's knife. See, the cutting was to heal, not to hurt. When you cut that one in the name of Jesus, and you talk to the master physician on how am I going to, I can't cut it anymore, mom says. I just can't cut it anymore with that kid. I can't cut it. Well, ask Jesus how to cut it, so that that cut will heal instead of wound and destroy. Whew. Listen to the climax of his cutting. He doesn't woe them. The Bible says he weeps for them. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How often I would fain have gathered your children as a fowl gathers her brood under her wings in Matthew 25 and 37. The woes were to redeem into a collective salvation. We woe our kids, don't we? Woe to you if you go across the street. Woe to you if you don't listen to me. Because you see, I'm trying to redeem you. I don't want you to get hit by a car. Woe to you if you don't get out of that bed. Woe to you if you don't get busy. But usually, anyway, our temper is a bad temper, isn't it? The ego is wounded, and it lashes back. How dare you speak to me in those terms? Not redemptive. It wounds. Yells, shouts, pouts, gathers a group. The whole neighborhood knows that mom is mad. Oh, there goes mom again. Gathers a group, if you will, to ride on its bus called, we're all going to nuts under this tension. One person in the household can drive everybody nuts. And so the redemptive temper burns with a steady fire, the Bible says, of a redemptive intention. You want to see results for the other guy. You're concerned about the person, so you have a burning. You have a redemptive fire. You have a redemptive temper. But the retaliative temper simply burns you up when you're burning mad from jealousy. Envy. Oh, when people take on that jealous look. Oh, they can be so happy. And then all of a sudden, Someone else comes into the room. I can't stand her. Or envy. Envy, the Bible says, is rottenness of bones. Now, that's jealousy. It gets a little deeper, and it gets into your bones. So you envy the person. You can't sleep at night thinking about the person. Huh? Isn't that terrible when you get... We all get jealous once in a while, don't we? Has anybody in here ever got jealous in the whole of their life? God said, raise both your hands. Yes, Lord. But the point is, do you recognize that? It's all right. It's all right. But envy is the rottenness of bones. When you envy someone and you can't sleep at night and you think, oh, if they were not in, if they were moved out of Minneapolis, or if they were only in Kalamazoo or someplace, oh, if I could only get rid of that person in my life. Huh? It'd be somebody else. Before they got on the bus, it'd be somebody else. Oh, I got a gal in Kalamazoo, huh? Well, that's a song you don't know. You're too young in here. You've got to be my age. Over the hill. Are you hearing this message today? An ego that's wounded. An ego that yells and shouts and pouts and has a mood. If you've ever been in the car and there's one of the kids, you got all the kids, you're going on a trip, and that kid has got a mood. And he's pouting and he's got his lip hanging out like two limp pieces of calf liver, you know, hanging out there, you know. And, you know the thing to do then? Let me tell you, folks, and I'm talking from experience. Turn the camper or whatever around and say, well, let's all go home. We're not having too good a time. And go home. Don't say a word to that person. I mean, you talk to them and so on like that. And you go home. Well, why are we going home? Well, it didn't look like you were having a good time, so we're going to go home. Well, we'll see if you can have a good time at home. Okay? And every time they sit in the cafe and they stomp and they yell, I don't want you. You ever seen kids like that? Now admit it, you'd like to go over and dump that oatmeal over the top of their head. Tell the truth. The truth will set you free. Kid will have oatmeal all over his head, but you'll be free. Huh? Well, you say, well, excuse us. I want to pay for this dinner and everything here. Well, we're just not going to... She's so unhappy. Or he's so unhappy or whatever. And we're just going to go home where the kid will be more happy. Don't say anymore. Let God work it out. And keep the rest of the family away from that kid so they don't kill it. See, you don't have to be the dog all the time. You don't have to be the watchdog all the time. Let the dictates of the person's own conscience work on them. If you're around a person that's a big baby, how many have been around a person that can be a big baby? Maybe they're 35, 40 years old, but they're a big baby. Huh? Well, let them be a big baby all by themselves. Huh? Why try to change a 35 or 40-year-old person's diapers? Man, they can kick like everything, like a mule. Whew. Are you hearing this? Oh, I hope a lot of people are hearing this message. I'm talking about having a good temper, not from self-ambition. Pride. No concern for other people. I'm not talking about that. See, it burns you up. You meant it to burn somebody else up. But what does the world say? You know what? That person burns me up. Doesn't she just burn you up? That's not redemptive. It's destroying you. Give it over. Give it over. Ooh. Oh, that guy burns me up. And so what's behind your temper can either turn it good or it can turn it bad. How do you react in traffic when you're in a hurry? Huh? Do you honk, honk your horn? Honk, honk! Or do you give little peep, peeps? I mean, use your horn only to prevent an accident. Blow off your mouth only to prevent someone's injury. Or do you give long, long honkers? Honk! No. That wasn't good enough. Honk! Now you got all of Minneapolis's attention. Amen. Is that right? Honkers are becoming more polite because there's people out there that can't stand honking. A honker! And they pull out a sidearm. Are you hearing this? The world isn't ready for your honking! See, the peepers just call attention to the situation, while the long honk honkers call not only the attention to the situation, but also to this attitude about the situation. This is how I feel about this traffic jam. Honk! That's how people start riots. Look what they did to my baby. And there's no baby in the scene. But people are so upset. Hey, did you hear what they did to that baby? No, let's get him, huh? They incite riotous living, the Bible says. Oh, it's easy to get a crowd going. Because they want to listen to that kind of stuff. And while the long, hard honk honkers, I said, call not only attention to the situation, but also to his attitude about the situation because of his red face. Doubled up fist. You ever run into somebody that drives like that and they give all kinds of Indian hand sign signals? You know what I mean? They're just, dum, 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 huh? Shouts, threats, hard breathing. You know what happens right after? It's an excuse to go have a drink. Are you listening? Booze noses out there? I used to be a booze nose. You know what I mean? The long, big red nose. Are you hearing this? That's your excuse. Oh, this traffic is so bad. I'm so fed up. Oh, I wish they'd fix that 35W or 94. I'm going to turn in here and have a drink. What's his problem? He got burned up. He got burned out. The tension drove him nuts. And so he drove to a bar. Are you listening to this? You on the radio? And so he drove to a bar where his tensions of the world, and he has a whole lot of other nuts in there with tensions. You want to find tension? Go into a bar. People are in there with all kinds of complaints. Hey, usually after four or five drinks and after the two martini high, you only go two martinis high and then you start sliding downhill, by the way. There's a whole lot, but you ever notice after the two martinis that everybody gets so smart they can solve all the world's problems over a double whiskey and a water wash? Barroom conversations to start. I guess they all start the same way. Shish, give me a double. They call it unwinding. The problem is, I'm talking about tension here. The problem is they unwind so much they can't even walk. They lose all of their tension. They become loose. Loose mouth, loud and filthy. Loose moraled. Don't I know you from someplace? Loose eyed. Wow. Loose eared. And you start listening to very crude conversations that you should not take part in. Loose walkers, and they walk like they got spaghetti legs, you know what I mean? Now they're loose, they have no tension at all. Loose thinkers, oh, I'll tell you what I think about that, huh? Loose minded, I have half a mind, that's all they have left. I have half a mind to punch you right in the mouth, Buster, huh? Do you know someone like that? Yeah, I do. Loose in their driving? Oh, I tell you, the most awful thing happened. I was coming down Nicollet, and there were a bunch of elderly people, and they were crossing the street, you know, and they walk, and they were talking, and they're taking their time, going across the street. Sometimes they take more time than they have to, though, okay? But I mean, that's okay. I mean, it was still, the light was there, you know, but they should be on guard. This guy was coming, and he was so loose, he was driving like this. I mean, he was totally out of it. I think his mouth was even opened up. I think he was sleeping, and he started going, and these people started looking. Is he going to stop? Is he going to stop? Is he going to stop? Hey, don't think because that light is for you that he's for you. I was yelling. I was saying, move, run. That was about a half a block wide. Run, oh, for God's sakes, run. People don't stand there looking. It's green, huh? This guy couldn't even, he didn't even know his name. He didn't know what color the light was. He was driving along. And finally, they had enough sense to run. They barely made it. Getting loose, having no tension, alcoholics, if you're listening to me, can cause you to lose your heart, your liver, your kidneys, your mind, your job, your family, your driver's license, and your self-respect. Getting loose, losing the tension, giving it up. See, we need tension, but we must allow God to control it and make it redemptive. Don't let the devil control your tension. You know what? He'll cause you to snap. You know how easy it is to snap? One day a person's working on his job, and you think he's got it all together. And the tensions are there, 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 and it's a wrong kind of tension, and it's not redemptive, and ministers have ministered to people that they got to have tension, but it can be redemptive, and if they got a problem, they got to talk it over with some, and they snap. And they end up sitting over there at the Anoka Hospital, looking at a wall, huh, with a gown on. Well, why don't they make gowns that cover the whole body? My Lord. Are you hearing this? See, I talk from experience, or I don't talk at all. I can remember a time in my life when I was ready to, and I was successful. I was very successful. And I remember a time, I'm in business, okay? I mean, don't look puzzled. I mean, money. People can understand. Just say it right out. I had money. Now people can understand. Oh, you had money. Okay, yeah. Well, there's a lot of tension involved with money. And the tension was there. Will I be able to hold on to it? Will I make the right deal? Will this happen? Will that? And I thought, God, I'm losing it. I am totally losing it. And that's when I got Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm the same guy. I got the same tension. I don't have the red nose. I got red knees. Same person. I'm just not the same. The same, but not the same. Like that, this movie, The Pod People, where they were the same. Well, it seems like the same. But in reverse of that. You know what I mean? the exact total. See, God isn't going to take your spirit away from you and totally change you so that you're all the same. Praise the Lord, brother! I mean, everybody isn't going to be the same. Isn't that true? Wouldn't that be boring? It is boring when Christians are all the same. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! You can just tell what church. Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Amen! I had one guy come in and said so many amens. I said, brother, will you stop saying amen? I can't get one word out. I, amen, went amen. I mean, I couldn't even talk. I was saying the last couple of weeks ago, I says, go outside and say 40,000 amens and then come in the church and be, get it out of your system. Do you like me at all? Just kidding.
You have to. You have to.
Yep, to get to heaven, you have to like me. Well, that's the price you have to pay, sister. Oh, there's a suffering with us, isn't there? I'm just having fun with you. Now, we have to allow God to control it or we get strung out. You know, that's a term they use all the time. Man, that guy is strung out. It means that his guitar, his life is so loose, he's strung out on drugs. He's strung out on alcohol. He's strung out on himself. Or she is strung out on herself. Now, I know I'm hitting you folks out there. Some of you young folks out there, I know. And you are strung out. Well, get strung up. Have a tension. That's a right tension. It's not a tension for the next fix. I remember when I used to have a drink. Huh? Oh, you know what? I just got to have a drink. I mean, I just, you know, want one for the road. There's always one for the road. It seemed like I was on the road. On the road again. Huh? But some who have tension, let me tell you something. This is important. I think I have to minister this. Some people who have tensions blame it all on others. They find someone else to unload on, like a garbage truck. They back up. And they dump all their garbage on you. They'll come over, you're feeling perfectly fine, and they have to unload their tensions on you. They dump all their garbage right in your kitchen. Drunk on themselves, let's say. They walk out loose as a goose. And you're red-eyed and no fingernails left, exhausted from listening to the person's tension release. Yeah, you need to tell people, go dump on someone else. Sometimes people have a person so they can dump on them. When you hear their truck backing up to you. Huh? Radio audience, I'm backing up my truck. This is a heavy load. He can't hardly get the hydraulics to work. Oh, what's having trouble unloading? Oh, finally I grabbed the... It buries you with their problems. They need to take those problems to the Lord. Hallelujah. Say amen. Whew. I got tension. Who could ask for anything more? Huh? They love it. And they love to unload. And then they have a tension headache. Right? You know why they have a tension headache? They're not strung right. They're off key. Bong! They need to tune up or tone out. Don't listen to the same thing over and over and over again. From the same old person with the same old song. The let me unload on you what people have done to me blues. Have you been around somebody like that? That was the title of a song, by the way. It wasn't the whole song. That's 15 pages. The let me unload on you what people have done to me blues. You ever heard it? I have. Just let me tell you what people have done to me. Sit down, put the coffee pot on. Call home, tell me you won't be home for a couple of days. Now, next time, pray with that person. Say, brother and sister, or sister, let's get down and let's pray about this situation right now. There is nothing outside of Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about a phony sit down, you're up, never do nothing church. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about vibrant, being a Christian, say, let's pray about this situation. Let's look and let's hope for a miracle to happen. And I'm not talking about getting into miracles and claiming, I claim my life to be free of this and this and this. It isn't going to be free attention. That is not realistic preaching, and prosperity teachings are not realistic. The poor will always be with you. And Jesus said, I above all wish that your soul would prosper, not your pocketbook. Sell all you have. Follow me. I had not a place to lay my head. Give up that tension of holding on to worldly goods. You won't make it through the narrow gate holding on to that house and all them things you so dearly love. You got to come the narrow way. You got to travel light, a toothbrush and a pair of socks, and let's move, Charlie. So next time, tell them the truth in prayer. I'm not talking talk a prayer. You ever been around somebody that talks a prayer? Oh, Lord, straighten this person out. You know what a perverted dummy they are, huh? No. It's an important thing to tell people the truth. Oh, Agnes. I use Agnes because there isn't too many Agneses around. If there's an Agnes, I'm just using that name. Agnes, is it so important that make a mess people won't learn? There are just people that make a mess, Agnes. Is it so important to you that they won't learn? What's good about them people, Agnes? Can you find something redemptive to say about that person and just go clean up their mess, or find somebody else that's a clean up after the mess people? Will you pray, Father, forgive us? I had a prostitute come into my office, and I said, well, let's pray. Okay. Father, forgive us. Well, what'd you say that for? You're not a prostitute. Well, Jesus took on all the sins of all the world. And he's telling you, this is the way you pray. Father, forgive us. Put yourself in that person's situation. What are you going to do with the people with AIDS and all these kind of things like that? Oh, Father, forgive us. We're all in this big old boat together, don't you know? This is a big boat in the sea of the universe. And even Jesus tells us he's the captain of this ship. The captain of your salvation. Why? You don't sail this ship alone. There's a song like that. Isn't there a song like that, Sue? I'll sail this ship alone, so I won't get into it. Father, forgive us. Did you ever sit with someone that's preaching love and peace and all love and peace? And probably they're in the charismatic movement like most of us. And there's a lot of wrong in this too. You know what I mean? Let's face it. Okay. And we preach love and forgiveness, and then they spill coffee on themselves. And they lose their temper. They not only lose their temper, they lose their audience as well. See, people out there that are seeking peace and love and joy and good temper, when they think they have found it in you, in Jesus, they watch you. You are being watched. Well, if you lose your temper, then admit it. Don't go into a great big long, the reason I lost my temper. I wouldn't say anything, but this is the fifth time this has happened today. And so that's why that person's laying there with a hatchet in the back of their head. Naturally, anybody would do the same thing, right? Are you hearing this? Are you hearing it? People are watching you. How many know that good temper must come from the main product, love? The love of God, what? Constrains us. Love puts constraints on you, so you can't move the same way that you used to move. But if you take your eyes off of Jesus Christ, you know what will happen? You're not constrained anymore. You're over loose. You're under the wrong kind of tension. You're not long-suffering. You don't have that patience anymore, and you're not bearing fruit from the love tree. And so you lose it. How many lose it once in a while? Just admit it. No, I lost, man. I lost it. Now, I'm not talking about your salvation. See, it won't stand the test. See, if you can't act out a good temper, you must, in order to do that, you got to have love to temper your temper. It's like a surgical knife that will not hurt. It will heal. I was in an office. I had taken this person up. She said, "Oh, brother, I just have to go. I'm going. Will you go with me? I got to go to the psychiatrist's office and so on like that." And she was such a mess. I said, "Well, you don't have to go there, but okay, I'll go with you. I mean, don't get upset, you know." And I was outside, and then I heard the guy saying, "Yes, yes, ah." You ever know that when they don't know what to say, they say and ah. I thought, boy, that's easy counsel. I don't know what kind of language that is. Some kind of Arabic, maybe. And I guess I was a bit critical. And then he said something like, "Go on, please. Just relax. Receive peace." And I thought, well, that's pretty good. Receive peace, yeah. Forget your problems. I thought, well, that's easy for him to say, being critical again. And forget all your problems. Now, let's go back to the last session, he said. No. Judging from the notes we have here, you said you were gaining more peace than what you ever had. Oh, and then the phone rang. And then he said something like, it was a little lapse in the conversation. "No, I told you for the fourth time." "I told you for the fourth time, it's a wrong number." Then his wife must have called up. She must have said something like, "Pick up some munchies." They do that occasionally. Well, he said something like, "Munchies!" And then that was an exclamation point, and the next one was a question. "Munchies!" She didn't answer. And so in my critical spirit again, I said, "Yeah, munchies, dummy. Can't you hear her on the telephone?" God forgive me. I mean, that's what went on in my head. See, he not only lost his patience, he lost his patient. And she was out of there. I mean, this guy was arguing on the phone about munchies, and she hiked right out of the place, see? She got free, and he was so bound up, he had to sit on the couch. Anyway, when we close this message up, when we lose our tempers, we not only do something to those around us, we do something to ourselves. We give people a piece of our mind. Oh boy, did you ever? I gave her a piece of my mind. Oh, I tell you, when people say that, I think of Dracula. I think of those horror movies. Chainsaw Massacre, or one of those very popular movies, you know. You know what happens in the process? You lose your peace of mind. They said it exactly right. I gave her a piece of my mind. You gave up your peace. You're the loser. When we take it out on people around us, it's usually something wrong on the very inside of us. When our patience with our family, friends, and we lose that, then it's because we're out of patience with ourselves. We've run out. The cause and the remedy lie within you. Greater is he that's within you than him that's out of the world. Radio audience, I want you to read 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 8 as your little study thing. About years ago, my grandpa was telling a story. Now I'm closing, but this takes me a little time to close, all right? Like I said, I've got to back off, get rid of the tension slowly. It's got to come off of this. Anyway, grandpa said that this guy had an old mule. And every time he would hit a rut or a stump or a rock, he would swear and he would cuss and beat the mule. And so the man went to church, and the light of God revealed to him that his life was miserable, his wife was miserable. I mean, she was treated worse than the donkey. And the kids were little donkeys. I mean, and something revealed to him anyway. And he got saved in church, and he went out the next day, and he was plowing, and he hit a rut, and he hit a stump, and he hit an old something else out there. Some old boot or something like that. And he didn't swear and he didn't cuss. And the mule turned around and he looked at him. He was so used to it. This old mule just sort of, did one of them catch 20s, you know. And he looked at him. And the neighbor the next day said, being my grandpa, said, you know, I seen you out there plowing, but I didn't hear you. People don't have to hear about everything you do. Every time you hit a rump, a rut, or a stump, or something like that, they don't have to hear about it. And that convinces people of the life of Jesus Christ in you. Hey, don't make a donkey out of yourself. Are you hearing this? Don't always worry about having the last word. When someone gives you their tension, temper, don't receive it. Keep quiet and go on. You ever been around somebody that's having a tantrum? Oh man, they get just like a huh? They're under tension. The refrigerator catches it, wham! The stove catches it, wham! Huh? They're almost like they're karate people. That's what karate is, you know. Wrong tension. Oh. These people are mean. They're taking all their frustrations out. That's why they can break boards and everything else. It's like demon power, almost. You know that? In a gym. Sometimes them people that are really good at just as stiff as a board, you know what I mean? Now, I'm not getting legal. There's some good and there's some bad. Are you hearing this? Don't receive it. Go about your business. Finish your business. And if you have to, leave. Just go. Let them destroy everything in that house but you. Because in the end, they're going to destroy themselves. Give them a kind word, but don't be sickening about it. I hate people that, well, I can't say hate. Yeah, I guess that's a good enough word. I mean, don't get legal about it. I dislike people that give somebody a kind word, but they're sickening about it. You know, I've been meaning to tell you, you are a raving maniac. You know you have your problems and everything. But darling dear, do you have to be such a stinker? Right. Give a good word. My sister's really good at giving a good word. And I mean, totally could drop an A-bomb on her and she'd give, well, they were having a bad day. Oh. I mean, she has got patience I don't have. She just always had it like that. But she'd always give people a good word. She's a professional waitress, and that's her ministry. And people come in and ask for her. Families ask for her. Well, she has a day off. Well, where's Marge? And she doesn't get prideful in that. That's just her ministry. She makes her living that way, and a very good one, but I mean, it's her ministry. And when people come in, they're not very patient, and they're having a bad day. And she says, totally, totally forgiven, my sister Marge. It's because I think for the most of her life, everybody else was always a sort of, she was a person that was misused all the time. But that misusing didn't change her. It softened her and mellowed her and made her understanding. Sometimes situations that we go through in the name of Jesus can soften us and make us real people and make us understand why half or more of the population is the way it's at. It's why they're that way. We open up new horizons. You want a new horizon today? Anybody in here? I do. I don't want to be one of those people. I'm not looking for the last word. You know what the last word is a lot of times? Silence.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 300. That was part two to temper. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, the show notes, and scripture links. You can also find the podcast by going to www.pastorpaul.org. Up at the top of the homepage, you'll find links to Pastor Paul's blog and the podcast. Be sure to subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast and join us next Friday for episode 301, Kindliness. Have a beautiful week. God bless you. Thank you.